There is ridiculous amounts of data out there about the property market and how can you present that to develop that relationship of trust with both buyers and sellers.
Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 40 of the Real Estate Pros Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I am your host, Josh Cobb, and this is the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management, where we interview real estate pros and industry experts from all across Australia and around the world, getting to know them a little more personally and the stories behind their success to help you take your career to another level. And I'm excited about this week's show. I'm speaking with Kylie Davis, the head of real estate solutions at CoreLogic. Kylie is going to share with us her background in media, publishing, and real estate. And we explore the results of CoreLogic's Perceptions of Real Estate Agent survey and the lessons you can learn that will take your customer service to another level. But before we catch up with Kylie, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week. So let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Business Depot, real estate specialists, accountants, and business advisors. From startup to growth or succession, muscle up and raise the bar of your real estate business. Check them out at businessdepot.com.au.
This week, I'd like to tell you about a site called youcanbook.me, which is a really great tool for letting people book appointments with you. What you do is connect up your Google Calendar, you apply your branding, you set it up the way you want it to look, and then it gives you a unique URL that you can send out to people to quickly see at a glance when you're available and lock in a time that suits you both. We use this tool for so many different applications here at Steps and for our podcast as well, and it really cuts down on all those emails and phone calls back and forth. There's a free membership option that doesn't cost you anything, and then also three other paid membership options as well. I think it's a great time management tool for everyone in your office, and I encourage you to go and check it out at www.youcanbook.me, spelt youcanbook.me. And with that, let's transition into this week's interview. I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Kylie Davis, the head of real estate solutions at CoreLogic. With an MBA and 25 years in media, working at News Corp and Fairfax, including 10 years in her own newspaper publishing business, Kylie brings her wealth of knowledge and entrepreneurial thinking to the real estate industry in the areas of marketing, digital, and data. Kylie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Josh. It's great to be here.
Well, I've given our listeners just a brief introduction, but take a minute. Tell us a little more about you personally and give us an overview of your business.
So I am the head of real estate solutions at CoreLogic RPData. I look after the industry as a whole of real estate. So it's my job to understand what's happening inside the real estate industry, what are the issues and that are affecting real estate agents, and look at how CoreLogic can align and service those needs better, and also make sure that the industry understands some of the things that we're doing. So it's a strategy and business development role, which is really exciting.
Fantastic. And CoreLogic are an international business. You've got offices all around the world, mainly in the US. Is that right, Colin?
Yeah, we have offices in the US. We're the biggest data provider over there as well. But we are now starting to open up in New Zealand and Asia, Japan, China. And we've got some projects in other countries around Asia as well.
Well, we might loop back later in the show and have a chat about some of the differences between those markets and Australia, sure. Kylie, if that's okay. But something I'd really like to get your thoughts on is this growing trend of industry providers such as yourselves there at CoreLogic giving away all of this information to consumers today. And I'm talking about data such as sales history, automated valuations and the like. Traditionally, this information could only be obtained through a real estate agent. So what impact do you think this has had on the real estate experience for buyers, sellers, and investors? And what do you think are the pros and cons for real estate agents when typically this information is provided to the public, in most cases, for free?
I think it's really great news for real estate agents. I think about I've been involved in buying and selling property for probably the last 20 years. And I think when I look back at what my original experiences were like 20 years ago to what my most recent experiences have been like, it's vastly improved. So what real estate agents are seeing is a more educated buying and selling community, which means that they can engage with their buyers and sellers on a basis of a lot more knowledge. They're not as, you know, they're not as responsible for every part of the information that that buyer or seller receives. So it means that the buyers and sellers can really sanity check some of the stuff that their agents are telling them. And that can be quite challenging on one level, but on the other hand, it can also be quite liberating because it means the onus isn't exclusively on the agent. It also means that what we've seen is that buyers and sellers are also hungry for more information. So this isn't going to change. And what it means for the industry as a whole, it's part of the disintermediation of real estate, which is a really long word, but all it means is like taking out the middleman. So what it means is that agents really have to prove their value to buyers and sellers by showing that they really do have value, whether that's because they can offer a really cheap and quick transaction or whether they can offer a really high value transaction. And it's no longer about just selling a house anymore. It's actually about getting the best price possible for a property.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point that you've made there, Collie, that they want more information. And I think that's mainly due to the fact that there is more information today. Consumers in all industries, not just in real estate, have so much content at their fingertips and quite literally in their pocket with their mobile phone. So it's quite interesting. And I've always said, Kylie, it's my belief that real estate agents won't be replaced by technology, that, you know, real estate agents will be replaced by other real estate agents who use technology effectively. And it's what CoreLogic have essentially done, and all of these other data providers have essentially forced agents to be a lot more transparent with the information they're giving. Would you agree?
Absolutely. If you look at what's happening in the US with Zillow and how much information they make for free available to both buyers and sellers, they give away an awful lot more than you can get here. But what happens then is that the conversation that an agent starts to have with their clients isn't about, oh, this is what the value of property is in your suburb, so therefore, because I've told you that, you should list with me. It comes down to, so you know that this is the value of property like yours, you know, in this suburb. This is how I reckon we should be marketing it to maximise that, and these are my credentials and experience in getting results in that space. So it actually becomes a lot more about sort of telling away from telling and yelling to really collaborating with your vendors to get the best result and having them understand what's going on at every step. So I think that's actually a really exciting development.
No doubt. Well, you mentioned Zillow there. A lot of our listeners may be wondering, our listeners here in Australia might be wondering what Zillow is. Can you enlighten our listeners on what Zillow looks like? And you talked about some of the information they're giving away. Can you describe that for everyone listening today, Kai?
Well, it's kind of like realestate.com on steroids, I think. So they provide a lot more information by property based on what it's worth. They can tell you, you know, the US has kind of a combined credit score, so they can start to give you insights as to whether you can afford it. They give you a lot more neighborhood information as to, you know, you can say, well, I'm looking for a suburb that's arty with lots of cafes and good schools, and they can start to help you refine down to that level, regardless of what the name of the suburb is. So, you know, it's just a lot more information available around consumer preferences as opposed to just property type or looking things up.
Do you think we're going to see something like that come here to Australia, Colin, or is it already happening?
I think it's starting to happen, and I think it's inevitable. I mean, in the last 12 months, we've seen all the websites look desperately to start or, you know, look to put school information up. And, yeah, they're definitely heading that way. Portals are being disintermediated too by it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And there's a lot of smaller businesses as well coming into the market that I've personally seen, Kylie, at some of the conferences of late that are bringing this technology in. They're startup businesses, basically, whether they're funded or not. And they're essentially bringing this technology into the marketplace that are now integrating with some of the larger portals, which is really exciting to see. But I mean, you spent some time in the US as well, Kylie, at the Inman conference and that sort of thing. What are some other technologies around, I guess, the portal side of real estate or the listing of real estate online that you see coming into Australia?
Well, iBeacons are coming and are probably just starting to be here now with things. Is it called Follow It? I've just had a complete mental blank.
Yes, yep, Follow It.
But iBeacon and this whole idea that your mobile phone isn't a mobile phone anymore, it's actually a remote control for your life and it gives you access to your, the next step after the mobile phone will be sort of tapping the button on your chest and saying computer, look up or research like they did on Star Trek.
Yeah.
But your mobile phone means that you no longer have to go to your desk and research anything. It puts research into your hands at any time. And it also has the technology to kind of know where you are and where you're located. Mm. And that sort of technology is starting to come into real estate. So it's about not just looking for a property by searching for it online or scouring the classifieds if you're really old school or seeing it on your phone on a map. It's actually as you drive past having your phone bleep you to say, hey, listen, you were looking for a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house, you know, worth about X. Mm. There's one sort of 3 doors away, you know, round the corner from you. You should check it out. And also things like being able to walk into an open home and not, if you don't want to, talk to the real estate agent, actually having your phones share your information with the agent and even being able to rate the home as you go through it or see more content on your phone as you're going through it and say at the end of that experience, yeah, I really like that property. I'd like the agent to contact me and share more with me on Monday. Or, no, look, it's really not for me, so I'm good. And providing that information back to the agent so that they have almost a qualified lead list at the end of that, which is not just, you know, written down on a clipboard.
Mm. And I think it's the natural sort of intuitive feeling that buyers have, I believe, Kylie, is none of them really want to talk to a real estate agent at the end of the day. And it's in any industry, a lot of people self-serve information far more now than they ever have because of that explosion of content online. They're really wanting to self-serve that information. And then they might sort of spend 7 or 8 touch points with the agent behind the scenes before they'll actually reach out and call a salesperson. And I think that goes back to what you were saying before about there being so much more information. So I challenge everyone listening to embrace these tools that are coming into the market. They don't have to be scary to you, but you do need to embrace it because this is how your clients and prospects are going to seek information. And if they're not getting it from you, they're definitely going to get it from somewhere else. Don't you agree, Kylie?
Absolutely. And I think this is all down to that whole kind of other trend that we're seeing in the industry around content marketing. Mm. And it's not just real estate where content marketing is starting to become king too. And this is what excites me about the evolution of data. Mm. In the old days you would get a great big spreadsheet and only the truly nerdy would be able to crunch it and work out what the hell was going on in it. Whereas now you can plot that on a map, you can start to pull stories out of it, you can make it really, it doesn't have to feel like you're eating broccoli or doing homework anymore. It can actually be really quite enjoyable to learn this kind of stuff. Mm. And the easier it is and the more enjoyable it is to experience it, whether it's kind of clicking through the 10 most important elements to me about my next property purchase or, the way even gamifying it, the more people engage with it, the more they learn without even realizing they're learning something, and then the better the outcome at the end of it because you've got an engaged and interested and educated buyer or seller combined who can ask really intelligent questions of a real estate agent that they can help guide through the process.
No doubt. Well, I think a lot of agents, Kylie, would be listening to this and thinking, well, if we give away that much information, if we've got all this data and technology and content available to us and we give it over to the real estate consumer, they really have no reason to call us or they'll go to another agent or something like that. And that to me is crazy thinking, is the consumer is going to get that information from somewhere and you may as well be the agent that gives them the content they're seeking to build trust with you. That they're going to see you as the expert. Can you get your thoughts on what would you say to agents thinking, well, why would we give away all this data?
Because if you don't, someone else will. And if it's not realist, and if real estate agents as a whole decide as a collective that they won't give away the data, then this is what technological disintermediation is all about. It will come out through a different someone else will start to deliver it, one of your suppliers or one of your, you know, collaborators or, you know, other people who service the industry will start to see the value of empowering your consumers and providing that information for free. The real value, though, from a real estate agent's perspective, is not to worry about what you're sharing, but to think about how you're sharing it and how that sharing and how your delivery of that information creates the relationship. So from my background in media, whether diluted or not, the whole idea behind a good newspaper or a good media experience is that you had human beings editing and filtering and helping people understand what was important, why it's important, and why you need to know it, and providing that kind of curated content experience. And I think that's a really valid kind of metaphor for real estate agents too. Like, there is ridiculous amounts of data out there about the property market. To someone new or reasonably inexperienced coming into it, yes, they can do all their own research themselves, but knowing where to start or what to look for or how to find it and whether they should trust the source or not, that's all the stuff that real estate agents can do. They can kind of curate that content experience to develop that relationship of trust with both buyers and sellers.
What about for people outside of the real estate market, Kylie, for consumers who aren't in the market to buy a property, sell a property, or find a property manager? What sort of content outside of, you know, the data-driven articles and things like that would you think would resonate with those people?
I think the question would be, my first initial question would be, if they're not buying, selling, transacting, or thinking about it in any way with you, why would you want to track them at the moment? So I'm just going to get him a bit more clarification on that question, because, you know, I know this, I've spent 25 years of my life, don't you? Can spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and millions of dollars on resources building the most fantastic content website. But if only 4 people turn up, it's not really worthwhile. So my question would be, like, who are you trying to reach as an audience? What are their needs? Not what you want to tell them, but what are their genuine needs in what they both need to know and want to know? And then how can you match what they need and want to know with what you know and with the information that you've got available? And then the third question is, and how can you present that in the most attractive and useful and easy delivery possible for them to get hold of it and then share it with their friends as much as possible. So when I was at News, we had because we were training journalists at the time that data wasn't scary and that it didn't have to be nerdy and it shouldn't be really a dreary story that was just full of numbers. It was about really useful information, and people are really passionate about property. It's the, you know, number one thing that people talk about at barbecues and dinner parties. And people are really interested in the value of it and what that means for their own wealth and even their neighbourhood, or, you know, and what's going on in their neighbourhood. And even at News, we had this kind of understanding that when a major disaster strikes, even, for example, and you know, homes are taken out by fire or flood or earthquake or whatever, it's devastating, not just because of the loss of property, but because of what that means to people, which is that it's their home, it's their base, it's where they feel safe and secure, it's where they, you know, create and love their families. So anything in that kind of space around why we're passionate about property can be a great engager as well.
Yeah, I do agree with you, Kylie, that a lot of agents can spend too much time sometimes creating these content websites that really don't attract any traffic or build an audience whatsoever, or really add any value to the lives of people who aren't interested in real estate right now. But I do believe real estate agents do need to be building relationships with those people outside of the market right now, whether it's through a blog or a video blog or a podcast, for example. I do believe they need to be creating content that adds value to people's lives who aren't necessarily interested in real estate right now, which is obviously going to build trust with them, with those people, and establish the agent as the trusted authority in their local market. And I guess one way that some agents have gone about that, Kylie, in recent years has been to create a community blog. It might be called something like I Love Brisbane or I Love Sydney, those sorts of blogs that some of our listeners might be familiar with. What value do you think they add to the consumer, but also what benefit do you think those kind of websites have to the real estate agent who is spending all of that time creating content and hosting that website?
I think they're great value. I think as long as they're not taking huge amounts of time out, like, you know, even just taking a photo of yourself buying a coffee at the new cafe and saying, really great to see, you know, Joe Bloggs opening up his Lavazza coffee in our area. You know, we all really need more caffeine, or, you know, just sort of some light and bright stuff like that. Is I'm passionate about with my background, I'm really passionate about community journalism and creating connected communities. And so I think the role of agents in their community through what a lot of agents do with sponsorships or engaging businesses in their local area and bringing them together is a really valuable part of what you do. So I like seeing that, and I think it's a great way to get your brand out there. Tom Pannell talks about, you know, the need for having an agent before they know they need an agent, and I think that kind of engagement can really work well to put your name out there and have it sort of in the subconscious of people, so that when they start and about building the trust in your brand, you know, if the guy really does do good coffee. Just bit by bit, those dots start to join that what you've told them is correct, so that when they come to giving you control of the biggest asset that they own, which is usually their family property, trust has already been well established, and really it's just like the final part of the equation, not the beginning of you're not starting from scratch with a brand new relationship.
Well, you've segued perfectly into the next question I had for you, Kylie, which was around your Perceptions of Real Estate Agents report, which you conducted recently. And some of our listeners may not be familiar with the survey where you interviewed real estate consumers about the recent experience they had with an agent. And I want to first congratulate you and your team on creating this. It's an amazing piece of content, and I certainly think it's something that every agent needs to download. But can you explain what the report covered and the type of questions that you asked real estate consumers?
Sure. So we wanted to understand what people who had used a real estate agent had really experienced. So you hear a lot, you know, there's a lot of urban myths about how terrible real estate agents are with their, you know, white shoes and their long socks and about being untrustworthy. And every year Roy Morgan comes out with the, you know, Trustworthiness of Profession survey that basically rates real estate agents kind of along the bottom. I think in the 27 years or something that they've been doing the survey, agents have never been higher than about 10% in terms of trustworthiness. But that survey is very generic, and the people surveyed haven't necessarily used an agent. So what we wanted to understand was, if you've actually used an agent recently, what was your experience like? What did you think was a good part of that experience? What sort of things did you not think were good? What sort of things did you get shown and told during that experience? And, you know, what would you do different next time with your agent? So we got about 300, we did a 6-week survey, which we pretty much just went out over email and a bit of social media. We had over 300 people respond to it, and I think 56%, I think, had sold within the last 2 years. So their experience was very current. And it had some really quite surprising results, we thought, for an industry that, you know, has this sort of perception generally. You want me to tell you what some of those top lines were?
Sure. Yeah, go for it.
68% of people said that they would recommend their agent to family or friends, and 23% said that they sold above the expected price, and 50% sold that they said that they sold for their expected price. So what we found in the survey was that real estate agents have got, at the moment, have got a really good reputation for achieving the sold price expected or getting above that price, but that doesn't necessarily completely mean that they're going to have given their vendor a great experience. So the levels of satisfaction were high, but there was, 68% said they'd recommend. That means 32% said no way. And that was kind of the kind of baseline. About between a quarter to a third of the industry are falling down in terms of what experience they're delivering to vendors.
Well, a fair chunk of the report is dedicated to what consumers looked for in an agent, things like age, whether the agent was male or female, and the amount of time an agent has worked in the industry. All of that data was covered. Did the report show any noticeable differences in any of those areas in particular?
It did. It showed two things. It showed that regardless of the sex of a real estate agent, there's one kind of dominating trend, and that is that at the beginning of the relationship with their real estate agent, just after you've pitched them and they've signed on with you, and I'm going to have to try and quickly find, 58% of vendors felt really super confident about how their agent was going to go, but that started to slide the minute the campaign started. So by the middle of the campaign, that number had dropped to 50%, and at the end of the campaign, only 41% of vendors were really happy, confident and enthusiastic still about their agent. And that all talks to the kind of managing down conversation that a lot of agents have with their vendors. And we had a lot of anecdotal, our survey recipients were asked to give us a lot of anecdotal feedback on what they had experienced, and overwhelmingly vendors hate being managed down, and they blame that on agents not giving them a more realistic and sensible understanding of how they derive the price. They don't care about, well, they do care at the time, but they do care about what the price is. But more important to them is how did you come to believing that that is my price? And then if those factors, don't just tell me the price has changed, explain to me what the factors are that are behind that, in a way that I saw at the beginning so that I understand why my price is coming down. But when they just get managed down, they get very, it really results in a major drop-off in satisfaction level. But going back to the girls and boys, girls versus boys, it did show that female agents were more likely than male agents to deliver an excellent experience. 41% of women agents were rated as excellent compared to 33% of the men. Women were better at providing regular feedback, almost 45% of female agents were excellent at feedback compared to 31% of the blokes. So, that means only a third of the male agents out there are actually any good at communication. 43% of the female agents were excellent in terms of following up potential buyers and sellers, and again, 29% of the guys achieved that rating, and 38% of female agents were actually seen as excellent negotiators compared to 28% of the male agents. And women were nearly twice as good as the men at managing the sales process. So those that we surveyed said had rated as excellent 42% of their female agents, compared to just 28% of those who had a male agent said that they were excellent at managing the sales process. So yeah, there's some work there to do, boys.
Well, something I'm just looking at the report here, Collie, something that's struck me as quite interesting, talking about earlier in the interview about transparency and giving away data and information. 79% of agents shared recent sales in the area with their vendor, but only 28% shared average time on market, which to me would seem a pretty valuable piece of data when you're going to list someone's property. Would you agree?
I think it's I think those numbers just completely blew me away because there is so much data out there. And this is, and I think this comes back to that earlier conversation we're having, Josh, about free data. If data is out there for free and you're not even recognizing that in the conversations with your agents, that as you can see or as you probably know or anything like that, those sorts of framing what is available out there with your vendors, then they're going to start to assume that they know more about the market than you do. And we all know about what those relationships are like when you've got a vendor who knows everything. And so, like, you need to be able to kind of put the information that's out there, even if it's for free, into a context and try and, again, manage that content experience. So, yeah, so what's that? 72% of real estate agents of the people that we surveyed didn't provide any information about the time on market to their vendors. So we're not sure really what an expected time frame is. Now, maybe for in Sydney it doesn't matter because everything's selling like hotcakes anyway. But if you're in a market that's going slower, you would want your vendors to be really clear on after week 4 or 5 or whatever it is that, look, this is completely normal. We talked about this at the beginning, remember, you know. It's about sort of framing and managing the expectations of your clients, that kind of data point.
I think it's such a valuable point of difference as well, Kylie, being in a listing presentation and sharing that information with your, I mean, 72% of your competitors aren't sharing average time on market with the people you're talking to. So, I mean, what a highly valuable point of difference as an agent to be sharing that information when your competitors aren't, and talk, like you said, later on in that discussion through the campaign, if the property is still on the market, it makes it a lot easier to digest as the vendor. If you've already shared with the average time on market, look, it is completely normal. It's such a valuable point of difference that's being missed. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And here's a really down and dirty, easy way to differentiate yourself from your competitors when you're next presenting to a vendor. Put the average time on market for your area or for the suburb that your client's selling in, and then compare that, ideally it would be a better comparison, to what your own personal time on market is. So, you know, if the time on market in your area is 28 days, but at the moment you're selling in 24, tell your vendor. They'll love that. You know, everyone wants a quick sale for a great price. That's their primary purpose. So, like, even some of the other data that agents don't show, or the number of agents that don't show stuff, kind of surprised me too. 26% of agents didn't provide their vendors with an estimated value of the property, and another 21% didn't show any recent sales in the area. So it makes me wonder what they were showing their potential vendors to try and win them over, what kind of proof points they were giving them.
The people in the survey were people that have just sold their property, correct?
Yeah.
So there's no doubting that these people didn't receive that information. These are people that have sold their property, and this is the data that's coming from recent consumers, correct?
Yeah, 54% had sold in the last 2 years, within the last 2 years. 26% had sold in 6 months, within the last 6 months, so a quarter had sold in the last 6 months. About 46% had sold more than 2 years ago, but most of those, again, were still sort of 3-4 years ago.
Interesting, Kylie. Well, we could talk about this stuff all day, and like I said, we'll get a link in the show notes for everyone to go and get access to the report, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
Well, take us to today, Kylie. What are you working on right now that's getting you excited?
I'm super excited about heading over to Inman in a couple of weeks in San Francisco. So I first went there about 3 years ago, and I actually went together with the Ray White Group, and it was a conference that it did actually change my life. It's one of the things that led me to come and join RP Data. So I'm really excited about that whole technology space as to where real estate and tech and data are coming together and really changing the experience for both buyers and sellers. And I'm really excited about the opportunity to take some clients from RP Data. Anyone from Australia wants to come with us, come and join us. We'll be there. And to, you know, get involved in the ideas and the just the potential. I get really passionate about new ideas and seeing their potential and then applying them in a business way.
Yeah. Well, look, I too am very excited about coming along with you, Kylie. I'll be there in San Francisco with you.
Yeah, that's right.
With the Australian team, which is very exciting. But for our listeners who haven't been over to Inman or don't know what it is or what it looks like, or can you describe the experience of the conference and the kind of content that is shared there?
So it's a conference about real estate and technology and new ideas and how the experience for buyers, sellers and agents can be improved by technology. So the first time I went, I remember I was on the plane, and my background as a journalist is thinking, what in God's name am I doing? I'm on a plane for going to sit in a room with no windows for about 4 or 5 days with 7,000 real estate agents. This is how is this going to work? And it was actually fantastically good fun. It is really energetic. There's a huge energy at Inman. There is just ideas you can drown in. There's so many ideas out there, and you can see some really bright, clever thinking that you can get a feel that you can start to think, oh, you could take that and you could mix that with this, and then you could pull it together with this other thing, and that would really work for our business. So it's 4 days of some really dynamic workshops, presentations, panels, and a technology alleyway that trade show that will completely blow your mind.
And I think it's really exciting as well, Kylie, and my hat off to you guys as well for getting a bigger group of Australians to go over to the conference. I think the gap between the US and Australia in terms of technology and ideas is getting a lot smaller. And a lot of people previously would have said, look, what works over there wouldn't work here. But I've seen people that have gone to the conference and bring back these amazing technologies and ideas and have absolutely worked in the Australian market. And it's really exciting to see more and more Australians sort of making the trip over. And the US are looking at what we do in Australia as well, Kylie. I'm sure you've seen this as well. They're looking to us for ideas as well. So it's just this great sharing of ideas, isn't it, over the 4 days over there.
Absolutely. We at CoreLogic Australia is catching up with our cohort in CoreLogic in the US. There's a lot of stuff that we're doing here in Australia that the Americans are adopting. And it's great, Inman's based in San Francisco, which is, everyone knows, is the heart of Silicon Valley. And so it is kind of this melting pot of some of the best ideas in the world, or it's a breeding ground for that. You're not anybody unless you've had someone pay you to live your dream through venture capital at some point in time. but Australia, we're seen as the expansion and innovation lab for CoreLogic in the US. So we're working on a lot of proof of concepts here and taking some of the ideas that come out of the US and try, we're a great smaller market to trial some of that stuff and then take it back and roll it out more broadly.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Well, Kylie, thanks so much for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. But before we do, we're going to hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact is just one of many in CoreLogic's Perceptions of Real Estate Agents report. It found that 58% of vendors were confident about their real estate agent before the selling process, compared to just 41% after their property was sold. I think it's yet another reminder of why communication is so important throughout the entire experience with your clients, before, during, and after their property is sold, if you want your clients to keep coming back to you or refer you to family and friends. I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop me a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Well, Kylie, we've reached one of my favourite parts of the show, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
I sure am.
Name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
I'm going to cheat and say it's actually my cohort from my MBA. So I've got 40 of the coolest people in the world who I can always find someone to bounce an idea off or get some advice from.
Fantastic. What is your favourite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
Sing karaoke or be on an aeroplane.
Wow. Okay. So karaoke in San Francisco, I'm guessing is
going to happen. I am the queen of karaoke. Kylie by name, Kylie by nature.
You've let the cat out of the bag, Kylie. That's going to happen.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What is your favourite business book that you've ever read and why?
I'm halfway through and studying it like the Bible, 4-Hour Work Week. By Tim Ferriss. Absolutely. It has revolutionized my life, the whole outsourcing idea.
What is your favorite technology or online resource that you use daily to help you run a better business?
Look, I love Facebook, and it's not really because of business, but I love that I am working and I work pretty hard, but I can keep connected with friends and family, and that's important to me. So maintaining that connection with people and also being able to then expand that into colleagues or work contacts, it's Facebook every time. Or Evernote.
Cole, if you had to choose one thing that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, what would it be and what would your advice be to overcome it?
I think it would be self-importance. So I think self-importance blocks you from new ideas and blocks you from the need to embrace those ideas or see their potential. So it's part of that mindset of, we don't need to worry about this yet, or that's not going to affect us. And the way to overcome that is, instead of saying that'll never work, is to ask yourself the question when you see something and you feel your heart going, oh my, or your head going, oh my God, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, is to actually think, retrain your thinking and think, how could that work? If it worked, what would that look like? And then examine it that way rather than simply dismissing it.
Kylie, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favourite success quote and how do you think people in real estate can relate?
My favourite quote is from Einstein, that the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over and expect a different result. And I think everyone can use that, especially real estate. So if you find yourself unhappy with the results you're getting, look at what you're doing and change it.
Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources that Kylie has kindly shared with us today, along with all of the show notes and a link to their report by visiting our website at steps.com.au/Kylie Davis. Well, Kylie, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to thank you for your time, knowledge and advice today. I know that people are going to enjoy the content you've shared. How can everyone get in touch with you or find out more about your business?
Email me, kylie.davis@corelogic.com.au, or I'm on Twitter, at corelogickdavis.
Fantastic, Kylie. Look forward to seeing you in San Francisco.
I'll be there with a hot mic.
Fantastic. Thanks so much.
And my song list.
Love that. Well, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you do enjoy the Real Estate Pros podcast, we love reviews to help us get found. So please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy the show, we'd love to hear from you about how we can improve. Because at the end of the day, this show has all started to help you, the real estate pro. Until next time, I'm Josh Cobb. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Bye for now.